Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, Central Indiana. Is the pre-tribulation rapture a hoax? I want to talk to you today about the last trump as stated in the Word of God and prove that the pre-tribulation rapture is not a hoax. If there is a last trump, then it goes without saying that there must be a first trump. We'll uncover this first trump this morning. The Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. It also speaks of, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first Adam and the last Adam. The last Adam speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first Adam speaks of the first man at creation. The first man brought death and sin into the world. The last Adam brought eternal life. So if there is a first Adam and a last Adam, then there must be a first trump and a last trump. I have taught in the past that the second coming of Christ is a two-stage event. The first stage is identified specifically as the pre-tribulation rapture, just or just the rapture, we can call it, when Christ comes in the clouds. This earth-shattering event is the removal of his righteous and faithful saints who are living upon the earth at his return. Also, the graves will be emptied of all those believers through the ages who died in Christ before this pre-tribulation rapture. The Great Tribulation will precede the rapture. It is a 7-year period of horrendous persecution of the righteous saints who come to know Christ during this period. It overlaps a 7-year period of horrendous judgments that will be poured out upon the wicked of the earth. The rapture, spoken of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, has been wonderfully anticipated for centuries to ready God's children for the glorious appearing of Christ as a thief in the night. Those who are caught up together with Christ in the clouds will escape the looming judgment on the earth during the reign of the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan. This anticipation can be seen in the book of Titus. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The New Testament rapture is seen in the Old Testament pattern of Enoch, the father of Methuselah, being translated out of the earth before God's watery judgment in the flood of Noah's day. Translate means he was removed from off the face of the earth while still alive. We read in the book of Hebrews, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. In Genesis chapter 5, where we are introduced to Enoch, the Bible says Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Also, the pre-tribulation rapture is seen in the translation of the prophet Elijah being taken up off the earth by the chariot of fire and the horses of fire in the book of 2 Kings before Israel was carried away by the Assyrian army and scattered throughout the earth. In 2 Kings chapter 2, we read, "And it came to pass as they," speaking of Elijah and Elijah, "as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." This also speaks in this passage of a split rapture, but that is a message for another day. Another example is Lot and his family. When the angels of God came to Sodom to remove Lot and his family from Sodom before God rained fire and brimstone upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19. These Old Testament types illustrate beyond a shadow of a doubt the rapture and validate the future pre-tribulation event. However, no man knoweth the hour when this event will occur, but are persuaded to always be anticipating it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read, "But of the times and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. There are two great tribulations spoken of in Scripture. The great tribulation of the church age is great in duration, a 2,000-year period of time. The Bible says in John chapter 16, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Those words were spoken by our Lord to encourage the church for the last 2,000 years. But there is also a future tribulation, short in duration, 7 years, but great in intensity. The travail at childbirth, today we call travail labor pain, speaks of the coming tribulation. The child that will be birthed in the tribulation period will be a Jewish remnant of believers at the end of the 7-year tribulation. There is, however, a growing opposition to the pre-tribulation rapture. These naysayers are calling it a hoax by misinterpreting Scripture. They are inaccurately linking the last trump in Corinthians to the last trumpet of the 7 trumpet judgments of the book of Revelation that will sound at the close of the 7-year tribulation period. The Apostle Peter prophesied that there would be scoffers in the last days, mocking the return of Jesus Christ. This also includes those who mock the rapture. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." The book of Revelation is also known as the book of consummation. Consummation means completion. The book of Revelation is also known as the apocalypse. The 7 trumpet judgments in Revelation speak of God's judgment upon the earth after the church age during the great tribulation. Chapters 8, 9, and 11 of Revelation detail the cataclysmic events that will rock the earth during the sounding of these trumpet judgments. Hardly an environment for a subtle appearing of Jesus Christ as a thief, as mentioned earlier, to steal away his precious saints from the earth. The last trump of the pre-tribulation rapture is also referenced in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Also in the book of Revelation, this last trump is spoken of by John the Revelator right after the close of the New Testament church age, just prior to the great tribulation period. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven," John the Revelator is saying, "and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Come up hither," speaking of the rapture. When the Lord speaks, it is as a trumpet sound that causes one to tremble. The Apostle John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." The trumpet was used extensively throughout the Old Testament. The book of Leviticus teaches about the Feast of Trumpets. In Leviticus chapter 23, where we learn of the many feast days in the Jewish system of law, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation, a holy assembly. That's what convocation means, an assembly of the people. In the Old Testament, the trumpet was used to call the Israelites to assemble. In Numbers chapter 10, it tells us, if they blow but one trumpet, so one trumpet being blown, was to call the priests, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 27, verse 12, we see the regathering of the Israelites. Isaiah 27, 12, and it shall come to pass in that day, speaking end times, that's prophetical, that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day, speaking of a future day when the Lord returns, that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. So the trumpet was used to draw and regather the Israelites. Now listen to this, my friends. After the deliverance of the Israelites from the nation of Egypt, in the days of Moses, the Lord God descended upon Mount Sinai in the wilderness to give the Ten Commandments and the law to Moses. God sounded the first trumpet to assemble the Israelites at the base of the mount when he descended on the mount in a cloud. We read in Exodus chapter 19, and the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mountain or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. There is a distinct correlation between the events at Sinai and the events of the New Testament. The New Testament believers' Mount Sinai started with the Sermon on the Mount, and for two millennial days, 2,000 years, which equates to the 2 days spoken of in Exodus, and we learn from 2 Peter, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The saints of God have been sanctifying themselves through the power of the Holy Spirit to ready themselves for that last trump of God that will blow in the morning of the third day, the third millennium, when Jesus will descend to the clouds. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Just as the morning of the third day was the dawning of a new day for the Israelites, now historical, the morning of the third millennial day will be the dawning of the millennial kingdom for the New Testament saints, which is prophetical, still future, my friends. The third day speaks of the new millennium or the seventh millennium, the world to come, as Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." A thousand-year kingdom in which Jesus Christ will reign upon the earth with a rod of iron, along with his saints who have overcome the world. The beginning verses of the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians speaks of the necessity of sanctification prior to the rapture. The sanctification of the believers is a prerequisite to the last trump, just as it was a prerequisite to the first trump at Sinai in the book of Exodus. The washing of the Israelites' garments in the book of Exodus speaks of the New Testament's need to wash their spiritual garments. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Also the saints wash their garments in the blood of the Lamb of God." We read in the book of Revelation, one of the heavenly elders said to John the Revelator that a great multitude that stood before the throne of God was that great multitude that came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The creation account in the book of Genesis is both a historical account of the six literal days of God speaking this world into existence, but it is also holds a prophetical look into the future and speaks of six millennial days, a 6,000-year period when man will occupy the earth. The seventh day is the day God rested, which speaks of the coming millennial rest or 1,000-year kingdom of God, also known as the kingdom of heaven, when the called, the chosen, and the faithful disciples of Jesus Christ will rest from their labors. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, again, my friends, we read, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." My friends, are you comforted today by these words? If you don't have a church home, join us today at Crown of Life Baptist Church, meeting in the Cambria Hotel in Noblesville, Indiana. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Repent ye of your sins and embrace your merciful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, before it is eternally too late. 2,000 years ago, Jesus and John the Baptist preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." 2,000 years later, how much more at hand is the kingdom than now? Isaiah 55 tells us, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. My friends, the words of the Lord are being sent out through the airwaves of Freedom 95. The last trumpet is also symbolic of Jesus Christ assembling his saints together for the final battle of the ages with the Antichrist at Armageddon. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" The Lord's trump is not an uncertain sound. Those who are his saints, they will truly hear it. Jesus is also a watchman over his saints to preserve them from the sword of judgment that is to sweep the inhabitants of the earth. The scriptures tell us in Ezekiel 33 about a watchman. "If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people." The watchman on the wall of a city is to warn of imminent danger. Our watchman is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is warning us of the imminent danger to come. Anticipate the voice of the blessed hope, my friends. If you miss it, you will regret it. Listen to these final words, my friends, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we give you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." Notice the prerequisite of sanctification here at the beginning of chapter 4 in 1 Thessalonians, which talks about the pre-tribulation. Sanctification is a prerequisite and a requirement prior to the last trump. "That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God." Concupiscence means lust. "Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, and it is soon to be the time of the Lord and his return. I call upon you, my friends, to be ready, to be walking honestly, and listening and preparing your heart to embrace the Lord and see him face to face."
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.